An interview with Marjorie Townsend Conley at her home at 4040 Chestnut Avenue, Long Beach, California. The date is July 7, 1982, and the interviewer is Ann Andrees. Mrs. Conley, your family has been associated with the development of Long Beach for at least four generations, five if we count your grandchildren. But I think rather than beginning with your grandparents, I'd rather begin with you and talk about your life and growing up in Long Beach and your memories of this. So were you born in Long Beach?
Actually, I was born in Los Angeles when my father was an intern in the county hospital.
I see.
But everybody else was born in Long Beach.
I see. And then when did you move to
Long Beach? Oh, as soon as he finished that. So I was still a baby, I'm sure, when they moved back to Long Beach.
So then where was the family home at that time?
Well, we lived on the corner of 10th and Pine, where the Baptist Church is now.
Oh, I see.
And that was, there was a little bus that we could take, went down along 10th Street and then on to Pine, and we could take that and go downtown.
You weren't very far from downtown.
Oh, no, we weren't that far at all. And we went to the American Avenue School, which is now where the, forgotten what they call it. They said at 8th and American, it's where they have special extension classes and things.
Oh, yes. Yes. When did your family move to Los Cerritos?
They moved to Los Cerritos in 1920 because they felt it was getting too crowded downtown.
Uh-huh.
And at that time, Los Cerritos was really country. And I can't remember. It seems to me it was still county when we moved out here. It became part of the city practically immediately after. And we lived at the corner on the southeast corner of Locust and San Antonio. And the nearest house on Locust was clear down on Roosevelt. So it was a double block. So and you can't believe the jackrabbits and how big they were. And we had a cow and chickens and a goat. And the goat, my sister had a goat, and she'd stake it around the yard to mow the lawn. And then the house next to us was actually on would be American and San Antonio. The Fowles lived there, but they moved out, and the Southern California Military Academy moved in.
Oh, yes.
And the...
Was that there for very long, the Southern California Military Academy? I know it ended up on Signal Hill.
Yes. I don't remember just how long, but they had the corner house, and they built a couple of smaller houses, which I believe are still there, but they've been enlarged. And I know my sister was in about the first grade, and most of those boys were about her age.
Mm-hmm. Like, do you remember the name of the man who started the Southern California Military?
No, I don't.
I have it somewhere, but not with me.
Yes.
And I just wondered if you had any recollections about him.
No, I really don't. And Los Cerritos was, and at that time, that year then, they moved the Virginia Country Club out to Los Cerritos.
Mm-hmm.
And it took quite a little while to build, probably a couple of years, I imagine.
Mm-hmm.
And so there really weren't too many houses. I know that Kay Riegel asked me what happened to Los Cerritos at the time oil was struck,
yes,
which is in 1920. And it didn't make as big a splash as you would think, because there weren't too many houses out here, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And several houses, and I have the names of them here, were moved. Actually, one house was moved to Los Cerritos from Signal Hill. And it is, I can't remember who moved it, but that Don Powers lived there now, and it's 4251 Pacific. And it was moved down from Signal Hill. And these other houses, two houses I know, were moved from Pacific. And one of them was the Reginald Camel House, which was moved from 3841 Pacific to 235 Claiborne. And Reginald Camel, the Camels, were the parents of Norma Craig, Mrs. John Craig II.
Yes.
And she lives, their house is on the original site, of her parents' house that was moved. She'd be a good person for you to interview, too.
The home where Norma
lives right now.
On Roosevelt?
Yeah, yes.
Oh, I see.
And
I have talked with, I've interviewed Don Davis and his family.
Well, I was going to tell you about that.
Edgar,
well, I know, but they were on Pacific, too. And they were moved. I just started to tell you that. And they were moved to 4042 Virginia Road. And the two of them are right across the street from each other.
Yes.
They both had come from Pacific.
Yes.
And then another house that was moved, but was not because of the oil, was Mrs. Vandewater. And her house is at 4130 Chestnut, right up here. All these were left out of this Los Cerritos survey, which is amazing to me.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think they were all important houses.
Mm-hmm.
Two other houses that I do know were moved were the George Bixby house, not the La Linda Drive one, but the one that was across the street on Bixby and American Avenue, that one, and the Will Cook house, which was a big house, and I think it was on about 36th Street. I know it had a tennis court. I used to play tennis over there. Both of those houses were moved down to Sunrise Avenue, which is just off Atlantic and just south of Willow.
Yes, I'm familiar with the house. I interviewed Kathleen Harnett, and the Harnett.
Oh, you did.
Had their home on Sunrise. Eventually, I think it was her brother.
Yeah.
Frank, who had the family home on Sunrise.
Yeah. Let me see. What else do I have to tell you about that? Well, I can tell you a little bit about. So at any rate, as I say, oil was built here and there, not very successfully, and a few other houses were moved, but those were the most important ones that were moved. And then there's a triangle down there now that is, I've forgotten what they call them, but the triangle is Pacific Country Club Drive and I think about 36th Street.
Mm-hmm.
Those houses there were all built together. That area was the Lineberger home was there. And Mr. Lineberger was our congressman from here. And he was the one that took Mr. Vandewater's place when he was killed he had been elected congressman.
Yes.
And then he was killed in an accident. And so Mr. Lineberger was appointed. And they lived there for many years. And there was an oil well right beside it. But then they were back in Washington so much of the time it didn't matter very much.
So mostly the oil then in Los Cerritos was certainly below Roosevelt and more.
Yeah.
South of Bixby,
yes.
Wasn't it?
Yes, so it didn't really disturb Los Cerritos very much. There wasn't too much to disturb.
Yes.
And I'm going to tell you about the Los Cerritos school.
Yes.
Now, Don Davis was in Los Cerritos school with
me,
too. And we had the most wonderful time. Every time we see each other, we have to talk about Los Cerritos school because it was a three-teacher school.
Yes.
And it was a very small school. Even though it was three teacher and the principal taught the 6th, 7th, and 8th grades, and at any rate, we had several Mexican families that lived in the Rancho
mm-hmm.
at the time, and all those children came to our school, and there were numerous Japanese families. Children came from what we call Virginia City at the time too for our school, which is North Long Beach,
mm-hmm.
and there were. Several Japanese children because they had truck gardens down there in what we would call North Long Beach, and so they all came to our school too, and it still was a small school.
And you say small school, about how many children would you say were in the school? 100 or
probably about 100,
mm-hmm.
possibly a few more, but not much more,
mm-hmm.
and. We had a wonderful time, and the teachers were very good, and we did all kinds of interesting things, like from time to time we would have a picnic, and we would all bring things, and where Crown Point now is, we would play Run, Sheep, Run on that hillside, and we would go down to the riverbed, and the river was closer at that time, and then we played baseball. All the time we played baseball. And one time we went over and played Dominguez. And we had to walk across the trestle, which was pretty long. and at the other end, somehow we were picked up by a truck and taken down to the school. But that was a big event.
Did the girls play baseball as well?
Oh, yes. Everybody played baseball. Because there weren't enough boys to have a team, you see. Because this was through the eighth grade with just that many people.
Yes.
And my class, there were only six people in my class. And two girls and four boys.
Were you in Don Davis's class?
Don was a class behind me, but then later he skipped. And so that brought us up even.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know whether you know of Dorothy Malarkey or not. She was Dorothy,
no.
Dorothy Locke. And the Locke was an old family here that had Locke Ironworks.
No, I'm not familiar with them at all.
Well, that and so that was an old family here. And Dorothy was Dorothy Locke, but she's Dorothy Malarkey now. She was in our class, too, Elizabeth Lineberger.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a very interesting group. And it certainly was integrated. And one of our very best pitcher was Alfred Encinas.
Yes.
And we all just loved Alfred. And you may have heard about him from Don.
I heard about him from Jack Merrill and Ruth Craig Ron when I spoke with him in December. And Mrs. Ron doesn't remember.
She doesn't. I know. I talked to her the other day. We brought that book down to her.
But Jack was telling me a few things about the Encinas family, and I think Gregory was talking about.
Yeah.
Mostly.
And I know Norma Craig was in Los Rita School, too. And some of those Mexicans were her good friends, too. So that, as I say, we were a very integrated school.
Mm-hmm.
And
do you remember some of the teachers that you had?
Oh, I remember our principal. Her name was Belle Royce, and she was marvelous. At that time, she was way ahead of her time. Because she has taken all kinds of trips. Our whole school, well, at least the older kids, went up to Exposition Park to see the museum. And my mother and Don Davis's mother each had a 7-passenger car. So they could take big loads. I mean, they certainly had more than 7 children in those cars.
Mm-hmm.
And another time a whale washed up on the beach. Well, we all had to go down and see the whale, too. And one time they decided we should have a tennis court. So the boys worked on the tennis court, and they had to measure everything. And, they learned a lot doing that. And then we put on plays, and we would take time out while we made costumes and things like that. And mathematics, that was really her strong forte. We had speed tests every week. And you could progress from one to another. And when we finally, I just went there in the 6th and 7th grades, and my father thought maybe I should go down to junior high school. He said, surely I must be missing something. And some of the others went down too.
Mm-hmm.
And we were in the top of all the classes
mm-hmm.
when we got down there, and it was because of the drill. We had so much drill along with having so much fun.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't ever remember any discipline problems of any kind. But I feel that it was because she was such a good teacher and made things interesting for us.
I've read about her, and I read that she went into real estate.
Yes, she did.
To oil leasing.
Uh-huh. I don't know. I don't imagine she's still living. But she lived on the corner of Bixby and Country Club Drive.
Mm-hmm.
On the, it would be southeast corner.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. My family... In 1924, my father was a doctor, and he, on account of his health, he had to retire. And my older sister, there were 5 children, my older sister was accepted at Pomona. And so we moved up to Claremont for 3 years. And then the family moved back to Long Beach, and at that time, the house down at Penth and Pine, which had been rented during that time. And it was a green and green house, and I don't know who you know
about
that.
I've read about that
yes.
house in the Cultural Heritage
yes.
Survey.
Well,
I was a little confused with this statement that the your father and your family had gone to Claremont. Now, that didn't quite jive with the other material that I'd read.
I know it. Well, I thought I'd better put that in.
Yes.
And so then I stayed on in Claremont at Scripps College.
Right.
And but at any rate, the house, my father saw it up on stilts, and it was a catty corner from the Congregational Church.
Mm-hmm.
And liked it very much. And we were living in a bungalow on 10th and Pine, but we also had a vacant lot. So they moved the bungalow next door and put this house on the corner of 10th and Pine. So then later, they wanted to come back to Long Beach. And my parents loved that house. And one of the Green brothers was still living. So my father bought three lots there on, which was Magnolia at the time, Magnolia and Pacific, and this Mr. Green supervised moving it and adding a large addition to the back, because we'd become a big family by this time, and did all the landscaping.
Mm-hmm.
So then, and Mr. Babb was building the house at the same time that became the one that Mrs. Prey had.
Yes,
and so they did it at the same time. And so Mr. Babb felt that it would, well, he thought it would kind of upgrade things if they would change the name to Country Club Drive.
I wondered when that change came about.
And so he talked to my father, and my father signed a petition too. And so it then became Country Club Drive.
Oh, about, do you know the year? That
yes, 1927.
I see. Because I've asked several people when the name was.
Well, they wouldn't know.
No, but because Jack Merrill didn't even realize that it was in Magnolia.
Yeah, and so, well, when we were talking down the other day about this, talking about this Lasaritas book, we were down at Ruth Merrill's house, and Jack and Shirley were there, and so we were comparing a lot of things. He was the age of my brother, my
yes.
younger brother, and they were very good friends. But at any rate, there really weren't very many houses, you see. So then a lot of them were built right after that, I would say. Well, this was 27, and they were starting to build them about that time. And within a period of 2 or 3 years, most of Country Club Drive had been filled up.
Now, for a while, the one side of the Country Club was
yeah.
not developed. Well,
it
street curves. I always wanted to say the west side, but then it becomes the north side.
Yes, well, at any rate, that side was part of the Country Club.
Yes.
And so then, at one time, I guess the Country Club thought they could make some money, and so they had plenty of property down below,
mm-hmm.
and so they sold lots off along the other side of the Country Club. I know my mother didn't like that very well because it spoiled the view.
Yes.
And
I've heard several stories from Jack Merrill. He told me that someone had been digging, that in the land adjacent to Mr. Babb's property, when they were digging for some reason or other, they uncovered asphalt, tar paper underneath bushes and the greenery. And he thought that at some time that had been a racing track.
Well, I can tell you what it was. And I can remember this. We were talking about that the other day. And I'm just sure it's right that before these houses were built, there had been stables in there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I keep wondering if I am correct. And yet I see these old buildings over there in the Country Club maintenance part.
Yes.
I know are old stables, and I'm sure that that's where they were. And I keep saying that, and I keep wondering if I really was right. But it just seems so I can sort of remember stables being along there.
I see. Well, I've also talked with Tom Rowan, and he said that his mother said that Mr. Babb had his own airplane landing field. Now, have you heard that?
Well, he had an airplane, but he didn't land there.
Okay.
And, see, Earl Doherty had a field right over across the highway.
Yes.
And I'm sure that's where he landed.
Yes, I see.
But he didn't land right there.
Well, then Tom Rowan also said that where their home is now on Devon down, down the cliff, that area, Mr. Jones had used that area for horse racing also.
Well, Mr. Jones didn't own it at that. Well, he did own it later on, yes. But Jack Merrill and Kellen Clark, I know they had their stables down there for their horses.
I see.
And then later, when the Jones bought that whole outfit, they did have a racetrack. But the racetrack, it didn't go quite that far. The racetrack was more, just below Crown Point. Well, of course, probably part of it did go there because they had a stable and this racetrack down there.
Also, Jack and Tom and Don Davis, too, also spoke about riding horses in the neighborhood.
Oh, everybody rode horses. So many of the young people had horses, and they rode them all over the neighborhood.
Did you ride?
I rode some, but my sister, younger sister, rode more, and they had a... Junior Riding Club, I know. Now, she was a little younger than I, but an awful lot of people were in that Junior Riding Club.
Mm-hmm.
And they would have paper chasers, that they called it, down in the Willows. In the Willows, you see, at that time, it wasn't, Crown Point wasn't developed at all. And it was just willows down there.
Mm-hmm.
And the river. Sure, and the river was down there, too. And when we used to ride horseback, horses get kind of stuck in the quicksand. I was talking to Jack about that, too. He said, well, of course, you always got stuck at least once or twice in the quicksand down there. And I rode not nearly that much, but Jack had his own horse, and quite a few others had their own horses.
Yes.
Bobby Davis, I'm sure he did. It seems like he used to ride over to see my younger sister. And that's Don's younger brother.
He mentioned his younger brothers riding over to Los Alamitos.
Oh, yeah, probably did.
Getting horses from
Probably did. And somebody else I wanted to mention is Joe Hansings.
I'm familiar with the name, but I don't know anything about it.
Well, it's the house that the Bennetts, I believe, live in right now. The one, and it's on the corner of, it's the southwest corner of Pacific and Roosevelt.
Now, didn't the Desmonds live in that house?
Yes, yes. When I was in grammar school, there... The Johansings had at least six children. Mm-hmm. They all went to Las Vegas school, and it was the Cass and Johansing, and it was a big insurance company in Los Angeles.
Oh, I see.
But and that house looked about like a fort. If you look at it now, it's very square and very strong.
Yes.
And so there was always a little tiny Johansing, but and they had a Japanese houseboy, and he rode a motorcycle. Wasn't a very powerful one, because I remember one time I got him to give me a ride on the back of it. And they were there for many years, and they built the house. And then the house right across the street, which the Lawsons live in, you know which house that is?
No.
It's kind of an English-style house, and it's on the corner of Pacific. It's on the northwest corner of Pacific and Roosevelt.
Uh-huh.
At that time, a family named Camel lived there. Now, they're not related to Norma Camel or my Camel relatives or anything. It was another Camel family. And their nephew lived with them, and his name was Keith Coverdale. And his widow's still living, but Keith isn't. And I don't know of any other family that he had, but he went to Las Vegas school, too. And those are two very big houses at the time.
Yes. Mrs. Ron told me that when they built their home on Chestnut up from you, that I think it was 29 or 1930, right about there, that she and Mrs. Enloe decided to plant the eucalyptus trees up and down the street.
Well, they probably did.
She had this story. She decided that nobody else, that if they asked... tried to make any arrangements, I think, with the city or anyone, that they would tell them what to do. So she and Mrs. Enloe bought little eucalyptus trees and little cans
and planted them.
Went up and down the street and planted them.
Well, that was smart. I mean, you know, because, there weren't really very many rules and regulations. There were lots and lots of pepper trees.
Oh.
in the area. And something was called Pepper Tree Lane, but I'm not exactly sure where it was. But what is... anyway, I'm not exactly sure what it was, but one of the streets was called Pepper Tree Lane.
Yes. Was your family at all involved then with any of the oil development as it came into the Los Cerritos area? You weren't affected directly by...
Well, they had some oil stocks here and there on the hill, but they had nothing, nothing to do with the oil in Los Cerritos.
Well, from Los Cerritos School, then you did go, you said you went to...
Washington Junior High School.
Washington Junior High, and from there to Long Beach.
Well, then I went up, that was when we moved to Claremont, so I went to Claremont High School for 3 years.
Oh, I see.
But everybody else in the family went to Long Beach Poly High, and so did our grandchildren.
Well, where did you meet Mr. Conley then?
Well, actually, I finished school at UCLA and got my teaching credential. I had transferred. And I taught school up in Vice area, in the San Joaquin Valley. And it was awfully hard. It was a depression. It was very hard to get a job. But I had a sorority sister at UCLA who lived up there. And her father helped me get a job up there. And when I rented a room, of course, to live in while I was there. And the son of this woman, who was a widow, worked in San Francisco. It turned out that he and my husband, Lauren, had an apartment together in San Francisco. So he came down and visited one time, and that's how I met him. It wasn't an immediate romance or anything, but eventually, after several years, it really did work out.
When did you settle in Long Beach?
After I'd taught school there for 2 years.
And then
I really had signed a contract for the third year. But it was at that time, it was very isolated. In the first year, I had to drive over the old ridge route to get there, and it took hours. Mm-hmm. And then it took hours to get to San Francisco, too. So I felt like I was awfully... the second year they had the other one in, but it still took a long time. I felt like I was terribly isolated. And so I told my mother, my father was dead by that time, but I told my mother that if I stayed there another year, I'd marry one of those farmers and live up there the rest of my life, and I didn't want to do that. And so I came back down to Long Beach. And actually, Lauren, my husband's mother, lived in Long Beach anyway. And so then he was... transferred. He was with the Bank of America, and he was transferred to Los Angeles. So he came down and lived there with his mother. So at any rate, that's the way it finally all worked out.
Where did you live when you were first married? Here?
We lived in Long Beach. Yeah, we lived in Los Cerritos. And we lived a couple of little houses out here in Los Cerritos. One was on... Pine, and the other one was on San Antonio. And then my mother, during the war, everybody housing was difficult to get. So we moved in with my mother because it's a big house. Mm-hmm. And my older sister was married, and she was living in Orange County. But my other sister, younger sister, was married and living in Boulder, Colorado. And her husband was drafted. My brother was drafted. And we had two little children, and my husband was a little too old for the draft. And so we all moved in. We moved into mother's house then. And my younger sister, Jean, the fourth one down, had died. Mm-hmm. And so at any rate, so we moved in there with our two children, and then we had the third one. Our third one was born while we were there, and then my sister, who is, everybody calls her Baba Graham, but her name was Biddy Francis, and married to Bill Graham, who was one time councilman here. Mm-hmm. And she adopted a little girl. So anyway, there we were, and the two little children then, babies, were brought up like twins. So, at any rate, so then we stayed there with my mother until she died in 1949. It was a big house, and she wouldn't leave. And so, and she was wonderful, loved having the grandchildren there. So, it really worked out very well for everyone.
Mm-hmm. And then did you move to this house?
After she died. We stayed there until she died. Yeah. And then we stayed there until the house was sold, and then we bought this house.
So most of your life you've really lived in
Long Beach? Oh, yes. Practically all my life I've lived in Long Beach, you see.
Yeah. Tell me about some of your activities as a young married woman. I understand you were a president of the Junior Charity League.
Oh, yes. I was president of that. And it was kind of interesting. I was president when the war broke out.
So that would be 1941.